Communicating with a baby, I reckon anybody who's had a child, you'd take it home and you're terrified, then you've got to work out how to communicate with it. Is there a difference? Can you tell the difference? And how do you tell the difference when the baby is hungry, when it's cold, when it just needs picking up, when it's just being grumpy or teething? Dr. Susan Nicholson runs a fascinating name, Newborn Behavioural Observations Program at the Royal Women's Hospital. She's being described as a baby whisperer. Can tell you how to communicate with your baby. I love tips, new parents and old parents, grandparents. Can a grandparent communicate as well with the newborn as it could with its own newborn? Dr. Nicholson, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm well. Do the parents of the child have an innate ability to communicate? And that's why I raise the point. Does a grandparent, through their experience, communicate as well with a baby, a grandchild, as they did with their own child?
Well, that's an interesting opening question, actually. I think that often grandparents are more relaxed than the new parents themselves, and for sure their experience of their baby will hold them in good stead. And we know that new parents feel better about their own parenting if they have the support of extended family. So I don't think that grandparents forget anything that becomes so instinctive. But it's also true that our instincts are influenced by our own experiences in life, and sometimes our instincts can mean that we either miss what the baby's trying to tell us, or we might even misread what the baby's trying to tell us, because the baby's behaviors all have meaning, but they're subtle. In those early days when we're trying to work out what's my baby trying to tell me, the signs are subtle, and that's where professional help can be so such a good shortcut, if you like, in terms of getting to know your baby.
I don't know if they still exist, but once upon a time there was a thing called a mothercraft nurse, and I would
Right.
assume because they spent so much time dealing with babies, they could communicate better with babies. True?
I would say so, yes.
Okay.
I think that any professional who spends a lot of their time with both parents and with babies does become expert at reading what baby's behavior means. But it's a very particular kind of skill to develop. It's very possible to be efficient and helping parents know how to safely bath a baby, how to wash your baby, when vaccinations are important, but possibly still to miss the important communication cues that the babies are giving and the signals they're giving for what they need in terms of their relationship with you, the parent. And I think we have a real opportunity as professionals to make a difference to parents' experience of their baby in those early days.
This is what I found interesting about what you're doing, really interesting about what you're doing, is that you are sort of teaching people how to communicate. I would have thought it was instinctive. No, it's not, isn't it?
No. I think that's a very reasonable point. It's funny how instincts come up in this realm all the time, and mostly our instincts take us to a good place in terms of understanding what baby is saying through their behavior and being able to respond to it in a way that makes a difference to the baby, helps the baby regulate how they're feeling. But sometimes we can read things wrongly, and it can be our instincts that take us there. If you think about how distressing it can be at times when your baby cries and you don't have the instant answer. For some of us as parents, that is really profoundly distressing and very difficult to
So,
bear.
so what do you do? The baby's crying, it's been fed, it's been burped, it's not hot, it's not cold. What do you do? How do you sort that?
So your baby is having some kind of other difficult feeling and is asking for help. And so just what I tend to reassure parents about is that just by being there, and by looking after yourself at the same time as being with your baby, so making soothing sounds, singing an old lullaby that you used to find soothing, thinking of someone who was kind to you at the same time as you're trying to be kind to your baby, it may not settle your baby instantly. Your baby may be really struggling, but by being there with them, you are making a difference and you're helping them feel safe and secure.
Am I wrong in assuming babies can be manipulative little blighters? And therefore, how do I tell the difference between I'm hungry, I really want feeding, and I'm bored, come and get me up and play? What's the difference in the
I
cry?
think you are being a little bit
Oh.
unfair on that. I think it is really not possible to spoil a baby in the first year, and that when they give you some sort of communication, it's a very genuine one, and they don't know sometimes what's wrong. They know something's wrong.
Yeah, but they cry because they want to be picked up too, don't they?
That's right. And that is because that is the place in the world where they feel safest. And it's enormously valuable to babies to be able to be held. It doesn't mean you're going to be having your 15-year-old boy in your lap all day long and refusing to go to school. I think sometimes we do have these exaggerated fears about the meaning of being soft and gentle and kind. Okay. So in those first few years.
Can you give me an example of an urgent cry?
When a baby has their eyes closed tightly and is really, really screaming, it's very hard to even hear yourself over the top. Mm. The baby needs something almost as a circuit breaker to be able to know that they're not alone, because I think hearing their own scream is very additionally frightening, whatever else has caused the crying. And so you need to come in with something that's soothing, and it might be belly rubbing, it might be speaking like, oh, in a low pitch but constantly available sound that they can begin to attend to get past the distress they're feeling.
Thank you very much for speaking to us, Dr. Susan Nicholson from the Centre for Women's Health, and she runs the Newborn Behavioural Observations Program.